See you, Daryl. The Sixers said goodbye to Daryl Morey yesterday. Welcome back. Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We're saying goodbye to Daryl Morey. If you missed it earlier, we will replay the montage of the best moments of the last 6 years of Daryl Morey's tenure coming up, excuse me, a little bit on the show. So we'll get to that. Your phone calls on all things Morey, the Sixers, and if you agree or disagree that Kyle Schwarber is the best home run hitter in Philly's history. I believe he is. This, what we're watching here, I think Roma's downplaying it. We'll get back to all that, but Hugh, let's go out to the guest line here. We haven't talked to this guy in a couple weeks. He wasn't here last week, but he's back now.
He went on vacation, didn't he?
That's Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth seed. That's Color, Cut, Clarity, Carrot, and Cozy. Speaking of, not really a vacation, but a trip, you know, there's some rumors out there. I mean, we know Elliott will be with the Eagles when they go to London to take on the Jaguars October 11th. Sounds like the Midday Show might be traveling out with you, Elliott. Elliott, how are you doing today?
Wait a minute. Who said that?
Oh, well, it's happening.
Wait a minute. Who did that? Wait a minute. When did that happen?
If I learned, Hugh seems surprised by this at this point.
Well, he has travel anxiety. That's what happens.
Hugh just started paying attention to the show.
Yeah. Well, I learned from my trip to Kansas City with you that there's one way to help that travel anxiety in the airport before.
The bar. Yeah, we'll hit the bar.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Wait, how long is that trip,
I'm sure there'll be some pints there.
How long's the trip, Elliott? Flight? 5 hours? 6 hours? How long take to get out there?
Yeah, it's about six and a half.
Okay.
I think it's a little shorter one way than the other, but it's not bad. I've done it many times. You can put a movie on, you know, get the Odyssey app going. It'll be fine.
All right. Well, yeah, we will definitely have the Odyssey app. All right, Elliott, we got a lot to talk about here. It was like 2 weeks of catch up with you. Let's start with this. The schedule is coming out in pieces. Obviously, we're having fun here with the idea of what we found out this morning. You know, officially, Eagles, Jaguars in London on October 11th. We also know the Eagles will be in Dallas on Thanksgiving. So your thoughts on what we know already of the schedule, specifically that Dallas Thanksgiving trip?
Yeah, so I think getting Dallas on Thanksgiving is actually probably the best possible time they could have gotten them. You could argue, you know, maybe like 1 o'clock, but whenever they play Dallas, it seems to be either like 4:30 or at night or something like that. And they always get smoked, right? It feels like they struggle in Dallas. Last year they lost there. I know Thanksgiving's also a primetime game, but I would just rather play them on that day than on Sunday night or Monday night football. So I think that's like a relatively good spot to get them. They are 2-0 in Dallas on Thanksgiving, the last one being with Mark Sanchez as quarterback, so it's been a while, but they are undefeated in Dallas on Thanksgiving, so I think that's a good spot. As far as going to London, you know, the Jaguars were a better team last year. I don't think they have any type of advantage in London. You know, they don't really have real fans, so I'm sure there'll be more Eagles fans there than there will be Jaguars fans, so
Definitely.
It'll probably feel like a home game. And I think getting it early in the year, I'm assuming they'll have the bye afterwards. It's a good time to get the bye. So I think that's a good spot of the schedule as well.
The one thing I would, Elliott, I would look out for, and I haven't seen it officially yet, because you were talking about, I don't think the Jaguars have an advantage in London, and I would generally agree with you, but I have noticed in recent years, sometimes they'll play back-to-back games there. And I'm not sure if they're going to do that this year, and if the Eagles would be the front
they
end
are.
Of that. Okay, do you know?
And the Eagles are the front end.
Okay, well then that's not a big deal. What I was thinking was if it's when they play the second straight game there, right, and their bodies have been acclimated for 2 weeks, and then a brand new opponent comes in, I would guess over time that second game is probably an advantage. But if it being the first one, that's better for the Eagles.
Yeah, and that's one thing to keep an eye out for with this. When the Eagles traveled to Brazil back in 2024, I think they went 2 days early, but that was only a 1 hour time difference, 2 hour time difference, if I remember. This one will be more drastic. It's a shorter flight, but I think it'll be 4 or 5 hours, depending. I can't remember if they do daylight savings time or not, but it is. It'll be a bigger time difference. In 2018. They went out and practiced there, I think, 2 days. So when they go out to London will be, you know, noteworthy as well.
Elliott, before we see the whole picture, and it's coming together a little bit by little bit here, and tomorrow night we'll have the full picture, what is your thought on their opponents just overall? I mean, you did the mock schedule, so you kind of have a clear picture of who they're facing. We were talking a little bit about this yesterday. Although the Eagles have a first-place schedule, they kind of lucked out in some ways, just the way some of the divisions that match up with the East fell last year. Like, just for instance, the Eagles or the NFC East will play the NFC North this year. The Eagles obviously match up with the first place team. That's the Bears. All right, they're probably going to be pretty good again. But like the Lions finished in last place. The Lions could definitely be a good team again.
Much better team.
So when you think about strength of schedule, that's a negative, I guess, for the Giants who finished in last. So just overall, the way the opponents fell, how do you feel about the slate of teams they're going to play?
Yeah, another advantage, the Eagles get the Steelers, whereas the second place team gets the Ravens.
That's
a big
difference,
yeah. The Ravens will be a much better team than the Steelers this year. I think the slate of opponents, you know, with the obvious caveat of you never know until the game comes, like, I think it's kind of extremes, right? Like, there's a lot of really winnable games on there. The Colts, the Texans, the Jags, the Steelers, like, all those teams have varying degree of argument for being a good team. But I think the Eagles are a better team than all of those teams right now. The Panthers at home, like, that's a winnable game. The Cardinals on the road, another winnable game. But the flip side of that is they have the Niners, they have the Rams, they have the Seahawks, and they have Chicago, who I all think going into this season probably deserve to be ahead of the Eagles on any power ranking. I think they're close to some of them. I think Seattle could obviously have a Super Bowl hangover, which we've seen in Philadelphia the past two times they've gone. But those are four really hard games. Now, of those games, though, you get the Rams at home, and you know, I think you get Seattle at home. So you get some of those good teams in Philadelphia. So I think it's a manageable schedule. And as you go through the list of opponents, it's probably somewhat of a reminder that, you know, the Eagles still enter this season as one of the better teams in the NFL.
All right, Elliot. So tomorrow when the schedule comes out in full, the thing I'm going to be looking at most especially is what the first four line up as, who they are, where they are, how many road games they have, because it's a brand new offense, right? It's brand new scheme for Jalen Hurts. I think it is pretty fair to think it might take a little time for this thing to get rolling this season on the offensive end. So I'd like to have some easy opponents early. Elliot, when you made your mock schedule, what went into the way you kind of were lining up? Was it Arizona week one you kind of gave him? Was it Indianapolis, Arizona? One of those two.
I think it was Indianapolis week one, Arizona week two, the Giants, if I remember correctly, week three. I 100% agree with you. Like, I think they should. Oh, and I had the London game actually week four, but I had them versus Washington. So if you look at the first month of the season, I 100% agree with you. I think you want to have bad teams early. I'll take a gauntlet late once I've gotten 8, 9, 10 games under my belt with the new offense. Nick's teams normally start well. So, you know, I do think, like, even if it was tough opponents, there's a real world where they could still start strongly. They have a history of doing that. But I think all special seasons mostly start with a really good start to the season. Like, you can tell, you know, relatively soon. So I think getting an early start, getting bad defenses, getting the offense a chance to kind of get used to this new offense in real games, because we know they probably won't play much in the preseason. I'm sure that'll be a fun debate. But, I do think you want an early start to the season.
You know, ESP, you know, we was talking about your list, and I know you're all getting ready for excited about football season and everything, but I also saw your ESP's top 10 Eagles list.
Yes.
And I'm just curious. I mean, I don't have a problem with your list, but I'm kind of curious, why did you fall the way that you fell with the top 10 Eagles?
Yeah, so, you know, I think, first of all, it was a good reminder that the Eagles have a lot of talent, right? Like, they do have a very talented roster. In terms of how I landed on different guys at different spots, like, I think Jalen Hurts deserves to be number one. He's the quarterback of the Eagles. He's won a Super Bowl MVP. He's probably the best quarterback in franchise history, and he's still one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. So I think he belongs at that top spot. I think he's earned that top spot. Mm-hmm. You know, another one that was noteworthy, I would say, Jalix Hunt at number four. I'm high on Jalix Hunt. I think he was a top 15 edge in the NFL last year. He led the team in sacks, tackles for a loss, and interceptions. And I think the arrow is very much pointing up on him, right? I think he is a young player that definitely could be even better next season. But guys like Saquon Barkley, I didn't have Saquon in my top 10. He's coming off a disappointing season. We know the history of running backs that have a ton of touches one in 1 year, which he had in 2024. Like, they don't usually bounce back and have great years.
Yeah, they don't age well. Saquon, I get that, yeah.
Yeah, so Saquon's been a tremendous Eagle. I think he's a great leader on the team, but I think on a very talented roster, I would not have him in my top 10.
All right, so I saw it like everyone else, and I had a lot of questions about it. You explained a lot of your methodology there. So I guess a couple things. I don't. One thing that I saw a lot of people were thinking you were crazy for, and I don't think you're crazy, and I don't know if I'd have him for it. Elliot, I don't think the Jalix Hunt ranking is insane. I mean, he was really good last year, and he's getting better here. And, you know, whether he's four or six, I'm cool with that. I think Jalix Hunt's one of their better players. That was good. I guess for me, how much did you weigh Hurts' resume versus last season? Because there's just no way off of last season he's the best player on the team.
So I don't think that's true, number
but
one.
But he didn't play He didn't play well last season.
Well, but he was probably their best player on offense, right? Like, you could argue Devontae.
Well, but it was a bad offense.
But he was still the best player on the offense. I'm not ranking best offensive players in the NFL. I'm ranking the best Eagles.
No,
right?
No, I know. So, but if they had a bad offense and a really good defense, and we give the best player on the bad unit the best ranking on the team, like their defense was their strength, not their offense.
I agree. The defense was the strength. But again, I'm ranking players, not units. And Jalen's job is way harder than Quinyon Mitchell's job, right? Like, Quinyon's job is hard. Being a corner in the NFL is not easy. I had Quinyon number two. But Jalen Hurts plays on the more important side of the ball. And yes, they struggled. But one of the reasons they were even a competent offense was because of Jalen too, right? Like, he had a better year than the offensive line. He had a better year than Saquon. He had a better year than AJ. You could argue Dallas Goedert had a better year than him because he led the team in touchdowns. But who's throwing him all those touchdowns? So Jalen had a career high in passing touchdowns, I believe. Like, so he had a relatively good year. Now, he didn't have a great year, and there were definitely weeks where the offense struggled because of him, but he's the most important player on the team. And yes, resume matters. He has the toughest job in the city, and he's done it at an elite level. So yeah, I think all that adds up to him being number one.
How close were Quinyon and Cooper to being flipped? I thought those two next to each other was perfect, like, because I think they belong next to each other wherever they go on the list.
Symbiotic.
Elliot, I think there's a case to be made that Cooper is the better player because of he provides something on the against the run and the pass. While Quinyon, you know, is obviously excellent, but, you know, more of just a cover corner. How close was that for you?
So, I mean, they're both excellent players. I think Quinyon is maybe not a full level above Cooper, but he is a number one outside corner that shuts down number one receivers. Like, I know Cooper is helpful against the run. He goes up against number one receivers in the slot. He's made big plays against number one receivers. So he clearly is an elite player as well. But there's just a difference. And that difference is going to be an interesting one to see discussed a year from now because they're both going to be contract, eligible for a new deal. Quinyon's going to get paid. If Quinyon has a year, anything close to the past 2 years he's had, he might be the top paid player. Maybe not in all of the defensive, you know, players in the league, but he'll probably be the number one corner. Cooper, that's a different discussion. Like, nickel corners don't get paid anywhere close to what outside corners get. So I get your point, and I do think he's an obvious, like, obviously an outstanding player that makes plays. But what Quinyon does is just valued more in the league.
Elliot, if you had to go back and change something, or you think like 6 months from now, you'd be like, yeah, I missed that one. Like, what was the one that had you like, I don't know what to do with this player? Is it Saquon out of the list or something else?
So I think Saquon has a chance for sure. If the offensive line is better, if the offense is clicking, I think Saquon showed he has, you know, he still has that burst to an extent. So I could definitely end up looking really silly with Saquon. But I think the player is Jonathan Greenard. I almost put him on the list, but since he's never played for the team yet, and there were a lot of other good options, I didn't end up putting him number 10. But Greenard could end up top five. I mean, he was 2 years ago one of the best edges in football. I think he probably is the best edge right now. Like, Jalix Hunt, I think, has more upside than Greenard. But Greenard has clearly accomplished things that Hunt has not. So I think, you know, this time next year when I put my list out again, I think there's a good chance Greenard will be really high on it.
I think Devontae's in the top three next year when you do your list, if I had a guess. I'm just looking at guys that can move up.
I don't. And like all this,
well, he's going to be the number one receiver on the team.
Yeah, he already gets 120 plus targets a year. Let's not act like he's some hidden weapon that's yet to be discovered.
Well, but he can also get better. He can improve.
Well, Jackson Smith and Jigba was sort of a quote unquote by that logic, hidden weapon behind DK Metcalf.
Yeah, but that's fair. I mean, look, we'll see. Like, I think Devontae is an excellent player. I think he's probably a top 11-ish player at his position in the NFL. But I like this idea that he's just going to, you know, have a massive leap forward this year. Like, I'll believe when I see it. It's nothing against him as a player. He's just already very involved in the offense.
It sounds like you don't have faith in the number one player on the team to have as good of a year as Sam Darnold did throwing to JSN.
No, I think they'll spread the ball around. I think Wicks is going to get the ball. I think Mekhi Lemon is going to get the ball. Like, those are other things to consider. Everyone that thinks all these AJ targets are just going to go to Devontae,
I agree. But the way maybe I'm wrong on this, Elliot. I view it as like all those receivers will get targets and snaps, but the one constant will be him. Like, he'll be on the field every play.
He'll be the dude that gets the most balls.
And then Wicks will be a guy that is the number two some weeks. Some weeks it's Lemon. Some weeks maybe Hollywood. Like, I just feel like Devontae is the constant. Or I think he should be, at least.
Yeah, and look, this will be the first year where coverages, presumably, we'll see if he garners that respect, but like if coverages roll towards him, right? Like, he'll have the number one guy every week. So it's going to be a different year for Devontae. Again, I think Devontae is an awesome player. Maybe a year from now I'll look silly for saying this. I just think, like, the idea his numbers are going to skyrocket. I mean, he already gets 1,000 yards every year. He already gets a decent amount of touchdowns. He gets a lot of targets. So maybe he will. But I think the other guys are going to clean up the AJ stuff more than Devontae.
It'll be fun to watch. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on, and we will talk to you next week.
Appreciate you.
Yep. Look forward to that trip together. It's going to be fun.
Can't wait. It's going to be great. There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks with us there. All right. We haven't had our chance to unpack Elliot's list. We just asked him some pointed questions about it. Hugh, your reaction to ESP's Top 10 Eagles. So if everyone missed it out there, this was ESP's rankings. You probably kind of heard some of the way we were talking about. Hurts 1, Quinyon Mitchell 2, Cooper DeJean 3, Jalix Hunt 4, Lane Johnson 5, Jalen Carter 6, Jordan Mailata 7, Devontae 8, Jordan Davis 9, Zach Bond number 10, no Saquon Barkley at all on the list.
I don't have a problem with putting Jalen number one.
Well, I mean,
you should.
I mean, come on.
Well, Jalen's the most important player.
But that's
on the
not
field.
What the list
that's
was.
Not the
it's
list.
The best Eagles.
I mean, I hear it, but I think he's playing semantics a little bit with
but
that.
But sometimes I think we go too far with that idea of the quarterback's the best because he's the most important.
Well, he's the most important on the field. So. Now, I don't know. Right, like, so, that.
But who's
that?
Geno Smith was the most important player on the Seahawks a few years ago.
I'm talking about Geno Smith. I'm talking about Jalen.
No, but your point is that the quarterback's most important.
Let me get a question. Who's the best player on the Falcons? It's an easy answer.
I would probably say right now, Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, but by that logic, we have to give it a Penix or two. The quarterback's the most important.
Oh, no.
It's the same concept.
No, but we don't even know. Like, if you're asking me the most important player on the Falcons, it's the quarterback.
That's not the question.
No,
Elliot ranks the best Eagles.
It's kind of what Elliot's doing. I'm speaking Elliot for y'all. I'm just telling y'all.
We want your opinion. You to tell me what you think.
What I think?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have him at number one.
Well, he's not the best player.
I would have him probably at two or three, respectfully. Okay. But when I look at this list, Jalix Hunt to me is a lot. Jalen Carter should be higher than Jalix Hunt.
Okay.
I will say that. Jalen Carter should be higher than Jalix Hunt.
I think Quinyon's the best player on the team. He was as of last. Like, if we're doing.
I think that
Quinyon Mitchell the best player. See,
best
I don't know. Because
he was the best player last year.
I feel like Cooper DeJean's the best player.
No, Quinyon's better than Cooper.
I feel like, because here's where I'm rooted at in this. Because I've always was told in the NFL, the more you can do, the longer. I'm looking at the longevity of the position. Like, Coop is in a unique spot where he can play multiple positions.
But he didn't really play multiple positions last year.
But he can.
Well, he did go outside in the Dallas game. It didn't work out great, but he gave them a game outside corner.
Hold on. The best that a cornerback covering Jamar Chase's of the world, the Justin Jeffersons of the world, is so much more valuable and so much better.
It is
than being the slot guy.
Well, hold on, I agree, but we don't do that as much as we say we do. Remember Week One when Dory Jackson was getting crushed by the Cowboys because they had CeeDee Lamb on him and CeeDee dropped the ball. Like, Vic doesn't do that as now. I think Quinyon could handle it if he asked him to do it more. It feels like we only do that sometimes.
Guys, yeah, he's not going with the number one receiver.
Walk with me here.
Yeah,
both of them eligible to get an extension today. Who gets more money?
Well,
Quinyon.
Well, that's the question
if you tell me I can only keep one, though, I seriously consider keeping Cooper DeJean.
No. Well, but that's the question because what is Coop agent going to say he is? You know,
well, he's going to try to get corner money.
He's going to try to get corner.
They're going to say you're getting slot money.
Yeah, he can try. Yeah.
But he'll probably get it.
He hasn't played out.
All right,
he's more versatile, and that makes him to me more valuable.
Okay, so number one,
Quinyon's going to get paid more.
You're probably right. Jalen's not the best player on the team. Let's just stop.
No, he's not.
After the year he had last year, he's just no way. I think Quinyon and Cooper, it's a fun debate, and they both, Hugh, to your point, belong near the top, right? I'm good with Elliot on that.
Yeah.
Maybe a little high for Jalik Sun. I don't know what you do with Lane Johnson. He barely played last season. Are we like? Is that just
That's legacy right there?
So we're just grandfathering him in?
Well, yeah, that's legacy. Okay. I would say with Lane, that's legacy.
I think there's one guy that gets grandfathered in. It's Lane.
Well, I know. I agree. I still know where you put him on the list, right? Like, I don't know.
It's tough.
That's it's an interesting list.
Saquon's got to be on the list. He's all. He went from being the best player in the league to not a top 10 player on his own team. Remember last year, the NFL players voted him the number one player in pro football.
He was special, but unfortunate
that
thing.
That feels like a big...
How do you leave him off after a down year if Jalen's going to be number one after a down year?
Well, Elliot tried to tell us Jalen's year wasn't that bad.
Right. Oh, it wasn't. That's right. Okay.
It wasn't good.
He's never going to have the year that he had when he first got here.
Oh, I agree with that.
And, yeah, but and he's never going to be looked at like that, but he's still a good running back. He's still a good running back. To leave him off the list... You're right. He shouldn't be off the list. If anything, he should be 10 on the top 10 list.
Well, saying Goddard and Jonathan Greenard are better is clinically
and that's why
insane.
It's Elliot's list, and like
Stop
I said,
defending
I,
him.
What do you mean?
I mean, we're ripping the list apart.
What are you doing?
He's off the phone now. Say what you feel.
What would be the Hugh Douglas list without knowing what Elliot's was?
What would be my list? That would be kind of hard to do because I know how important. My list would be different because it would probably be more defenders at the top.
I thought defense is a luxury.
Well, no, it is, like they pay him like it's not a necessity.
And well, not Greenard. They gave him a lot of money.
You heard Elliot say that they played the most important positions on the field. He's talking about offense. He's talking about the most important people on the field, offense players. Yeah. But it would probably be more Jalen Carter would probably be a little bit higher at the top because he's the straw that stirs the drink,
although
in my
opinion. He didn't have a good season.
He didn't, Joe, but he still commands that respect in that middle of that defense that allows Jalik Hunt and those other guys to do what they do on the edges. Like, he's the catalyst for that. That's the part of the game that a lot of people don't see because they don't. The numbers aren't going to be there to show you. I would probably have Jordan Davis a little bit higher. You know, it's funny. Me and Ike were talking one day, and he said something that if Jordan Davis had Jalen Carter's mentality, we'd be talking about him differently.
Yeah, well, of course.
We'd be talking because he has a lot of athletic ability. Both of those tackles have a lot of athletic ability. So if it was me, they would probably be higher on the list than what they were.
Yeah, it's actually a challenging list to make. I'll give Elliot some slack on this. This particular list, this particular year coming off of last year is challenging. I would say Lane and Jalen Carter would be the easy ones to put near the top. They both were injured last year and didn't play great, right? Like, they just didn't have their best season.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to drop them down. I still would have Saquon on the list, and Jalen just can't be one. I think one is between Quinyon and Cooper. They both were first-team All-Pro. How many Eagles were first-team All-Pro last year? Were they the only two?
It sounds like about where was your boy Zach?
I don't think he was first team all pro last year.
Okay.
I think based on last year, Quinyon and Cooper are the two best Eagles as we enter this season. 215-592-9494. All right. We'll get to everyone's phone calls here. Daryl Morey, the Sixers. Morey out. Finally, the Sixers do something right here. Is the glass half full or half empty for you for this basketball team moving forward as they go into their search? I'm at the point now where I believe Kyle Schwarber is the best home run hitter to ever wear a Phillies uniform. This is remarkable what we're watching. 17 home runs already this season. He's on pace for 65. We're having fun with the idea of could he track down Barry Bonds with 73. This is insane we're watching. Agree, disagree on where Schwarber now ranks in Phillies history for home run hitters. We'll get to everyone's phone calls. And Flyers spoke yesterday for the final time this season. We'll get to the notable stuff that was said, including Michkov on his relationship with the team and more. Midday Show, Sports Radio.